I'm Mary Engish. You're Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Charlie, I'm noticing that as we're getting ever closer to winter holidays, more and more ads are popping up, like in social media feeds and on other media, saying they've got the perfect last-minute gift ideas. But you, Charlie, you actually have the true last-minute gift idea, and you're going to reveal it now.
Wow, that's a big buildup.
This better be good.
Yes, it will be good, because this is an essential tool that every gardener should have, and you might want to do it not as a surprise, but bring someone along with you, and that's getting a new hand pruner. Hand pruners are essential for gardening all kinds of places, whether it be for trees, for shrubs, for perennials, whatever it is. So let's do a little hand pruner 101 so you can know what you're getting into when you go to a garden center to look for one to buy. So first of all, there's about four different types of hand pruners. The first one is the one most people think of, which are the bypass pruners. They're kind of like scissors. And those are really nice for cutting new wood because they make a nice clean cut and you don't get a lot of disease in there. But they're not very good for cutting old wood, or I should say dead wood, dead branches, dead stems. For those, you want to get a different kind of pruner. That's an anvil pruner. So if you're someone like me, you have a lot of different pruners. But an anvil pruner is really good for those dead branches. It'll crush them so that they break off really easily. But it's not very good for live growth because it'll crush the stem and not have that clean cut you're looking for. So having one of each might be a good idea. If you have problems with carpal tunnel or just weakness in your hands and your wrists and your forearms, you can get a ratcheting pruner. This is one where you don't have to squeeze it all the way down to cut the branch, but you can squeeze it a little ways and then a gear mechanism locks it in place, and then you can take a little rest, then squeeze it a little more, locks it in place there, a rest, and then you can do that two or three times before you have to cut right through. It's a nice way to really save a lot of wear and tear on your hand, your wrist, and your arm. And the other one is a little one called snips. And snips are great for just deadheading things, deadheading flowers or cutting flowers to bring inside for a vase, or cutting the tops of basil to make them bush out, things like that. A really nice, handy thing to have in the garden. This is something you could probably just pop in someone's stocking because they're all kind of the same. So anyway, once you've decided on the type, then you want to go to a garden center and actually try them out, because for these hand pruners, they can be a lifetime investment. So you want to get one that's going to fit your hand really well, like a glove would fit your hand. So many garden centers will have some out there that you can try, and best thing to do is just put them on your hand and just squeeze them like 100 times while you walk around the store, just to get a sense, is there any sensitive spots on your hand or anything that feels not so right. And then once you find the right one, and you'll see that they have some for right-handed people, left-handed people, big hands, small hands, all of those different types, then you can just purchase that one. And keeping it as a lifetime investment, it's nice this time of year, if you have a pair of pruners, to take them apart. Usually it's just a couple little screws that come apart. Clean them up really well, sharpen them, put a little machine oil on them, put them back together, and they'll be there for you next year and this winter to prune away as much as you want.
So cool. Okay, Roger has a question for you, Charlie. Roger heard a recent episode where we were talking about how to sort of enhance your backyard and make it bird friendly for migrating birds as well as birds that overwinter. And Roger writes, "Hey, Charlie, I think I just heard you suggest planting honeysuckle as a source of winter feed for birds. Isn't honeysuckle highly invasive and thus an inappropriate choice for anyone's garden or property?"
Roger, you're absolutely correct. And I should have been a little clearer about that, because when I say plant honeysuckle, you don't want to plant the invasive types. And some of the invasive types are the Amur honeysuckle, the Moros honeysuckle, and the Tartarian honeysuckle. These are the ones that you'll see all over the landscape that are just spreading all over, and they are not good for our ecosystem. What you're looking for, though, are the native types of honeysuckles. So there's a wildflower that's a Lanacera, which is the honeysuckle family, Canadensis. That's a nice one. And then there's a climbing honeysuckle, Lanacera sempervirens. That's another good one. That's a native plant, doesn't spread, but is great for birds, for butterflies, for pollinators. So look for those in the garden center when you want to plant them.
Okay, if you have questions for Charlie or comments, you can send them to us at gardening@vermontpublic.org. And then listen back to this and all the other episodes in your favorite podcast app. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.